Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Lincoln Financial Field getting you ready for the Eagles home opener, Monday Night Football, Nick Foles night. Nick joins the pregame show tonight at 7:20. But I believe that we have a very important guest right now. Jeremiah Trotter. I hope you're aware that you have to help us solve a huge mystery here with us today.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to take you back.
What's up, Trot?
What up, big dog?
Just want to let you know I'm here.
Okay. So I want to take you back to 05, September of 05.
Okay.
And there was a tussle between, you know, some Falcons players and some Eagles players before the game. You were thrown out. Ike Reese was thrown out. And we believe... We believe that Ike was responsible for this tussle leading you to get thrown out of the game. So could you please tell us what you remember about that moment, and was Ike Reese mostly responsible for this?
So for years, everybody has been blaming Ike. And... I kind of rolled with it. But today, I'm going to bury the hatchet and clear the air.
Huh?
The actual tussle, as you call it, I didn't have anything to do with it.
Get him off the air. Hang up.
This is not what we wanted, Trot.
Tell the truth, Trot.
I got to clear my man's name. He wasn't responsible for the tussle. He wasn't even on that side. He was on the opposite side of the football field. But now, all that jumping around and chest bumping at the middle of the field, that was 100% Ike.
So,
I will cop to that. That was me. That was me.
Would you mind if we just continue to blame him for it?
Yeah, I don't mind at all. I just want to clear air. That's
all right, okay.
And honestly, I'm okay with it, too, because I've allowed it to happen all these years. But now my brother, he's right. We've asked him this several other times, and he buried me right with it.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, he got me. But as a true brother, he can do that and get away with it. But I'm glad, at least today, we got it on tape that he said I had nothing to do with it, so I'm happy with it.
It's just so much fun to blame Ike, though, you know.
Well, and the quote, nothing to do with it, it sounds a little strong to me as well.
Oh, man.
I don't know what Ike actually planned leading up during the whole week, you know, but that actual moment, he wasn't there. So he could be the mastermind behind the whole thing. Who knows?
Yeah.
No, don't get me wrong now. I was in the locker room pumping everybody up now. Don't get me wrong now. Yeah. Listen, I had them boys ready to go. It was my only contribution to the Falcons while I was there. I had them ready to go for that game, Trot. I had them ready.
So, you know, Trot, obviously the first thing I want you to ask you about is the play of Zach Bond and N'Kobe Dean last week, because I think we're all, especially when we saw Devin White was going to be out, all a little unsure of what to expect. But generally, we were all really, really encouraged. I'm curious what you saw and how you felt about the performance of those two guys.
Man, I've been very impressed, even from spring ball. I mean, not spring ball. I'm thinking about college. From
training camp,
OTAs.
Training camp,
yep.
All the way to now, very impressed. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Zach Bond went out and had the game he had, because they've impressed me all through training camp. Him and N'Kobe, those guys are playing very well right now, and you know, they're doing. I'm extremely happy about the linebacker play.
Yeah, when you look at N'Kobe, Trot, and you know, obviously you two aren't sort of built the same way, But he is the Mike backer in this defense like you were.
Right.
And I tell people they sometimes people don't even remember your rookie season and how you sort of struggled to get on the field, even being active, inactive certain weeks, and the game was just different. Now, obviously, you had the ability and the talent to do it, and you had some stuff. Your father had passed away that summer, and you had some other family stuff you were dealing with that contributed to it. But with Nakobe, I'm just saying, off to a slow start to his career, how did you make that, I guess, that switch flipped on for you in your second year to where you look like the guy they drafted in the third round out of Stephen F. Austin? Seems like that switch has gone off of Nakobe in his third year.
Yeah, I think what hurt Nakobe was just injuries, you know.
Yeah.
That slowed down his first year and then last year. And even when training camp first started, he didn't look 100% healthy. But, like, as they got closer to the season, maybe that second preseason game, that's when he really started to, like, it started to click for him. He started to look healthy. He was quicker, more explosive, you know. And you know how it is, like, with them injuries, man, they can really hamper your play, your practice, and all that. So I just think he's getting healthy. I've always been what's the word I'm looking for? I really always liked him because he was always so smart, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I always wonder, like, who coached him in college, who coached him in high school, because he's a very cerebral player, you know, and anything that he may lack physically, he make up mentally. You know, mm-hmm. And you know as well as I know, you can have all the physical tools. You can be 6'5 and 250, but if you ain't got the mental part, then it doesn't matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can lack things physically and be smart, have a high football IQ, and still be able to play at a high level.
Yeah.
So I've always been impressed with Nakobe, the mental side of the game for him. And like I said, those guys are playing very well right now. I just hope they continue, man, play at that level and the whole defense as well. I thought the defense played well in the first game. They just gave up too many explosive plays.
Well, on Nakobe, one thing we've talked about a lot is how he's good when he's playing downhill. You know, he wants to hit people. How do you strike that balance at that particular position between letting the play develop and letting things come to you and trying to be aggressive and make a play?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I teach my boys. It all depends on the opponent, first, the scheme, second, and as much as you read the offensive line, you have to read your defensive line also. Because just like safeties are back there, they're the erasers in case we mess up, then the linebackers are the erasers if the D-line mess up, right? So if somebody's not in their gap, we just can't fill in right on top of them. We got to fill opposite gaps. So we have to read our defensive linemen just as much as we read the offensive line, because if a guy does a good job on a stretch play and he stays in his gap, then most likely the ball is going to cut back. So you may play over top a little bit and then just be ready to fall back. But it doesn't make sense. The D lineman over the top and you're over the top. Then when that running back cuts back, it's going to be a wide open lane there. So he just has to, you know, get a feel for the game and just continue just to read the guys in front of him, because he has some monsters in front of him. And, you know, Vangio like to let them guys go play, man, to keep them linebackers free so they can just run and make plays.
Talking to Jeremiah Trotter, you mentioned the big plays, which happened sort of, you know, the defense started off great, and then it seemed like the second and third quarter is when we got hit by those. Coach Sirianni mentioned tackling as a primary issue for that. Based on what you saw, do you think it was more of a tackling issue, or if it was more of a not where you're supposed to be sort of or scheme issue?
I think it was some tackling that definitely had something to do with it. I think the field had some stuff to do with it, especially on those plays where, first of all, it's hard enough trying to tackle NFL guys in open space on a good turf. Mm-hmm. It's even that much harder trying to tackle a guy when the turf is bad, you know. And you know, obviously both teams were on the field. Both teams had to play against it, but I saw Green Bay defense struggle with the same thing, tackling the open field. Flipping out there, especially defensive ends, just trying to turn the corner when they're pass rushing. But yeah, the tackling had definitely had something to do with it. And just his man, them guys get paid too, man. They get paid too. And the object of the game is try to make more plays than they make. You know, if your team goes out and don't make any plays during the course of the game, then a lot of those players not going to be around and the coaches ain't going to be around that long.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply. Yeah.
Speaking of coach, Vic Fangio in his first year here reminds us a little bit of what Jim Johnson was as a coach. He doesn't have as much fire in him or display it as much as Jim used to display it at times while he was coaching. But that wisdom there, and it's sort of, I guess, that ability to coach his players hard and have his players respond and respect that, I think that's going to be a good thing for him. What do you think about Coach Fangio as a defensive coordinator and being here?
Yeah, man, I think he definitely has some similarities to Jim Johnson. They both got the old school mentality. He will bring some pressure. He's a straight shooter, tell you where you stand. And myself, I love that in a coach, you know, whether it's good or bad. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember Ray Rhodes told me my rookie year, hey, Trot, man, you're the worst rookie we got. And listen, it didn't feel good. But at least I knew. First of all, he didn't need to tell me that for me to know. I knew I was in a bad place at that time. But I appreciated him being real with me, man, because a lot of times if people tell you one thing, it means something totally different, you know. So I like that about Fangio. You heard the guys, some of their interviews. They say, you know, he's a straight shooter. He's going to let you know where you stand. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate that at the end of the day. And as far as the scheme-wise, man, I really like how he allowed those guys to go play, especially the front seven, you know, D linemen, linebackers. His mentality is he wants those linebackers. If you look at his history, linebackers have been very successful in his scheme because they try to keep those guys free, let them run around, make plays. If you got a guy that knows how to blitz, he's going to blitz him, get him in the blitzing scheme. And, you know, you can't help but appreciate that, man. I think the defense had a pretty good showing against Green Bay. Now, people forget, man, Green Bay got a really good team.
Yeah.
You know, their playoff team last year got one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, if it wasn't for a couple of plays, those explosive plays, you go from playing, for me, a B to an A, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited, very optimistic about the season and the defense.
Well, we'd be remiss not to ask you about how Junior has been doing and how's that been going for you. As a dad now, you get to watch your son play here in the city that you played in, playing for the team that you played for. How's that been going for him and for yourself?
Man, I'm still on clouds, man. I'm still walking on clouds. I'm just enjoying the moment, man. Junior's enjoying the moment. He's excited to be an Eagle, excited to be just out there working hard, getting better. And all you got to do, man, I just said, just keep working. And, you know, when it's your time, when God going, you just be ready, you know. When your number's called, be ready, man. And, you know, I'm just excited, man. I'm just super proud of him, all the work he put in. And, you know, wow. I dropped him off yesterday at the facilities and you know, still kind of still a little strange, you know what I'm saying, dropping him off over there, man, when he used to go in with me or whatever. But,
yeah,
just super proud of him, man. You just got to keep working, man, and that's it.
Well, Trot, you know, I was excited to have you on. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't disappointed with you letting Ike Reese off the hook at the top of this call. So,
you know what? It's been going on. That was 2000 and...
It's 20 years, man.
Yes.
That was 2005, I think, Ike.
Yep.
Well, they've been lying about the JFK thing for like 60 years. You could have certainly lied about this.
Well, now we're comparing this to JFK?
I'm just saying. It's a better story. You know, we're gonna have you on in 6 months. I might coach you up a little bit on putting this right back on his back.
As soon as you saw me going down that road, all you had to do was push that little dump button. So I know about the dump button, man. You could have dumped it.
All right, Trot. We appreciate you joining us, man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother.
All right, fellas.
There he is, Jeremiah Trotter, ruining our fun.
Yes, finally.
Ruining our fun.
No, we used to laugh about that privately, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, what a moment.
I'm like, dude, you're just going to keep this going, right? You're just going to throw gas on this fire with this thing.
Well, I think it is. I just love the stories from, you know, you both had long careers mm-hmm. and playing together and then playing against each other. And I love one of the things I love that you that both you guys, but you specifically bring to this is sort of weaving that story through yes. time. And yes. by the way, those stories only get better as time goes on.
Dude, I can never get away from it. We play the Falcons like every other year.
All the time. All the time.
And like I'm gonna text Trot. I'm gonna say, hey, next time the Eagles play the Falcons, we're gonna do this again. And yep. here's what you need to say.
It's a tradition, like yep. no other.
So coming up, thank you to Jeremiah Trotter for joining us. Coming up in about 25 minutes at 3:40, Fletcher Cox, newly retired, along with Nick Foles, both newly retired, Fletcher Cox will join us at 3:40 to talk about what he's seen and honestly what life is like not getting ready to line up for this game tonight. And speaking of this game tonight, I kind of want to say something a little more clearly than I said at the top of this show. So the Eagles are the better team and the more talented team tonight. But the specific reason why I am shaky, and I guess I don't think people have really confronted this, is this is a game that the Eagles can lose tonight. And there are several different ways the Eagles can lose this game. And the first way the Eagles can lose this game is Bijan Robinson. And we just talked about it with Trot. The yeah. Eagles let up several big plays last week to a player who is not nearly as explosive as Bijan Robinson is, you know?
That's
so,
true.
So, and one of the things that we saw that you know, N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond both played well last week, but N'Kobe Dean did struggle when he was asked to cover somebody. And I can see that nightmare, whether it's Kyle Pitts, whether it's Bijan Robinson taking advantage of that. And this is one of the things that makes me nervous, is that we allow a couple of those early in the game and get behind. I just don't think the Eagles will be nearly as successful this year if they're playing from behind rather than playing from ahead. One of the things that happened last week that we got, I give credit to the defense, but ultimately we are very lucky that this game was not 14-0 last
yeah.
week.
Oh, yeah, it'd be a different game.
That's
yeah.
a different game, not just because they would have 8 more points than 6, but it changes.
We don't abandon the run.
We don't see the Saquon game that we saw yep. last week. So that the first way they can lose tonight, and they can lose this game, is Bijan Robinson. The second way they can lose, and people love making fun of Kirk Cousins the same way they love making fun of Tony Romo, blah, blah, blah. Tonight is not a playoff game. So all the big game stuff we can talk about Kirk Cousins with and not succeeding in the playoffs, tonight is not a playoff game. Kirk Cousins has had a lot of huge regular season games and has had those games against us.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole notion that Kirk Cousins is a statue, so he's not going to be able to succeed tonight, I have news for everybody. We didn't get to Jordan Love last week, and Kirk Cousins gets rid of the ball quicker than just about any quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So if you don't think that Kirk Cousins can have a big game tonight and Bijan Robinson can have a big game tonight, you are sorely mistaken. And the other thing is, if we are put in that position, I don't want to be in a position where we need to play catch-up without A.J. Brown. The Eagles are wildly talented offensively, but something you mentioned at the top of the show I just keep thinking about is that if the Falcons decide to stop Saquon Barkley, and any defense can decide to stop a running back
yeah.
if they sell out enough on
yep.
it, right?
Yep.
If the Eagles are in a position where the Atlanta Falcons have decided Saquon Barkley is not going to beat us, then all of a sudden we're in a position where Jalen Hurts is going to have to throw the football a bunch and is going to have to take yeah. what the defense gives him and is going to have to not turn the ball over. And I think these are all things that – I'm not saying all of these things are definitely going to happen, but the reality that we have to face is that this is a team that has the ability to beat the Eagles tonight.
Well,
this is not a team – you know, we're not facing the Carolina Panthers tonight.
Yeah. Now, you know? Listen, they have – and to your concern or point about – the passing game for the Eagles and Jalen having to throw the ball. Well, if you're the Falcons, you have 3 All-Pro Pro Bowl caliber players in your secondary, and A.J. Terrell, Jesse Bates, and Justin Simmons.
Right.
Like, they're two safeties. That might be the best safety combo in football.
Who I'm sure saw what happened last week, and the idea of beating Jalen Hurts into throwing a pass that he shouldn't throw. Yeah, that's all, is that tonight should be an exciting night. Nick Foles, it will be a great night. But tonight's not going to be an easy game.
Nope.
And they got lucky last week. And look, they won the game. They deserved to. I'm not saying they didn't deserve to win the game, but they got lucky in that a play goes one way here or there, and all of a sudden this is a very, very different attitude going into tonight's game. So that's it. So
coming, stop scaring everybody on the way to the game.
I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just trying to say that this is a
more Ike, less Spike.
Well, we've heard that before.
Yeah,
on social media. Yeah, we all get it.
I've heard that a bunch.
I mean, you didn't bring up Matthew Judon and Grady Jarrett. Like, if you want to scare
I didn't even bring them. Yeah,
right,
two great edge rushers.
Yeah, so 215-592-9494. More confident or more nervous for tonight's game? You should be nervous. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Wake up!
Coming up in about 20 minutes, Fletcher Cox joins us. I'm really excited to have Fletcher
on the
show.
Would be nervous if he was out there playing tonight.
I would be less nervous.
Yes.
I would tell you that.
Would not have bet on Bijan having 100 yards rushing.
Yeah. Did you do that?
Yeah.
Well, Ike essentially bet on him by drafting him onto his fantasy team.
Oh, so. Wow. Yeah, just keep making it.
Well, but hold on.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't pass him up.
What? And when can Ike and I take a victory lap on Bijan? Because they obviously were going to draft him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They signed Saquon this year. They were obviously going to draft Bijan if Jalen Carter wasn't on the board.
We've taken our victory lap. We just did it in silence. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to bring it up or admit it, but the Delaware Valley, who all were against drafting Bijan last year, they actually went out and paid more for an older running back.
You're saying the Delaware Valley. I sort of feel like this is focused on one specific WIP employee, actually.
It might be.
And a newspaper reporter. Coming up next, Fletcher Cox joins us. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Frizz.